So these three things are not of this material world. Bhakti, Bhakta, and Bhagavan. We've heard something about Bhakti and Bhakta, how they descend to this world. And we've been hearing something about Bhagavan. But we spent the whole first part of today's talk just expressing the importance of relishing. Maybe I wasn't expecting to spend so much time on that, but I think it's a very important subject for devotees to think about and to preach, to speak to others about. This is how Krishna nourishes his devotees, how he takes care of his devotees. In the Padma Purana, Krishna describes, Muhurtenapi samhartum sakto yadyapi danavan madbhaktanam vinodartam karomi vivida kriya darshana dhyana samsparshaya matshukarma vihangamaha swanyapatyani pushnanti tataham apipadmaja. There's two verses. The last verse is quoted by Srila Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita. You may be familiar with it. The translation. Although fit to annihilate all the demons within a few minutes, Krishna speaking, he says, I perform various pastimes just to entertain my devotees. Just as the fish, the tortoise, and the bird nourish their offspring by respectively watching them, meditating on them, and keeping them in physical contact, so do I maintain my devotees, O lotus-born Brahma. If Krishna would not have come to this world, where would we be? What would happen? It's so very, very important that Krishna came to this world and performed his pastimes. By coming to this world, as Gorgavinda Maharaj is saying in the first part of the first chapter, Krishna gives the devotees something to speak about. He gives us something to think about. If Krishna hadn't come here, what would we do? Where would we go? What would we know to do? It's a very, very important thing. Sometimes, especially for the Western devotees coming from a Judeo-Christian background, sometimes it's a little difficult in the beginning to describe or understand how it is that God has a form, and yeah, he came 5,000 years ago and danced with a whole bunch of ladies, you know, who milked the cows and stuff in the forest, and he did this pastime and that. And even sometimes for devotees it seems a bit far out. But if he hadn't done that, then how would we know to love him? What would be the subject matter of our hearing, our katha? Mahaprabhu, we told Raghunath Das Goswami, Gramya katha na sunibe, Gramya bhakti na kahibe. Don't speak Gramya katha. Don't hear Gramya katha. So, what kind of katha can we speak? Tavakatamitam tapta jivanam. Krishna comes and he performs his pastimes, and even the gopis are saying to Krishna that your katha, this is a thing which relieves us in this material world. Buridajana, those persons who speak your katha, they're the most munificent persons. They're given the greatest wealth. We have to have something to think about. And by nature, we should think about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. So, another point is there. When Krishna comes, what is the difference between Krishna's coming and the appearance of Lord Vishnu, of Lord Narayan? In this chapter, this first chapter, we're hearing something about Krishna's Janma Leela. So what is so special about Krishna's Janma Leela as compared to the Janma Leela of Lord Ramachandra or Lord Nisringadev? You know who Lord Nisringadev's father and mother is? One of Lord Nisringadev's names is Stambhaputra. He's the father of a pillar. He's the son of a pillar. So that was his appearance, his birth leela. So what is so special about Krishna's Janma Leela? Why is it that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas emphasize this so much? More so than we don't hear so much about Lord Nisringadev's Janma Leela, even Ram's Janma Leela, and that. But what is so special about Krishna's Janma Leela? What is so special about the appearance of Krishna? In the Padma Purana, it's described that Krishna, he performs different leelas in different places. It's said there, Sri Bhu Leela Yogamaya, Chintya chintitataya vacha mohini koshalatya sto bahirangas chashaktaya lila premna surupa cha stapanyakarshani tata samyogini diyogini ladinitya tarangaka. That in Braj, Krishna has 16 shaktis. Ekaya kalayat vabhyam matura durakadipa vrindavana pate rupa purnat se se pade rase. Krishna has 16 traits in Braj. He has 15 in Mathura and he has 14 in Dwarka. He has 16 shaktis in Vrindavan. Who are those shaktis? The Astasakis and the Astamandris. But there's only 15 shaktis in Dwarka, and there's 14 shaktis in Mathura. Mathura there's 15 shaktis, and Dwarka there's 14. Krishna's pastimes are always purna, they're always complete. His pastimes in Dwarka are known as purna. But his pastimes in Mathura are known as purnatara. They're even more complete. And his pastimes in Braj are purnatama. They're the topmost. They're completely complete. There's no higher pastime than Krishna's Braj Leela. And therefore, we were reading in the beginning Krishna's words, which Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami cites in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the fourth chapter of Adi Leela. The third chapter of Adi Leela. Yuga Dharmi Pavartana Hoya Amsa Hoite Ama Vinak Aninari Braja Prema Diti. Krishna says that my plenary expansions, the Vishnu Tattvas, they can establish the Yuga Dharma, but only I can come and give this Braj Prema. So Krishna's appearance is very, very important. As we were discussing yesterday, when Krishna comes, along with him comes all of his paraphernalia. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was saying very elaborately, such nice articles. He said that Krishna, he says a divinity devoid of his paraphernalia is delusion. You're simply in Maya. If you think that Krishna is going to come separately from his paraphernalia, you're simply in illusion. When Krishna comes, he comes with his abode, and that abode nourishes his lila ras. When we were describing yesterday, I think it was, that when the Lord, maybe today, when he wants to enjoy his Aishwarya Maya Leela, then the Lord manifests his pastimes in Vaikuntha. Lord Balaram manifests himself as the abode of Vaikuntha. When he wants to enjoy his Madhurja Ras Leela, then Lord Balaram manifests himself as Vrindavan, in accordance with the Lord's desire, something we were speaking about today. So, Maharaj, in this first chapter, he gives a very wonderful pastime of Krishna's appearance. And we'll just very briefly summarize it a little bit. He speaks about a Dwadasi Vrata that Nanda Maharaj performed. And he speaks about two singers in Vrindavan, Snigdhakanta and Madhukanta. Snigdhakanta means someone whose voice is carries snigda, carries affection. And Madhukanta means someone whose voice is full of sweetness. So these two personalities came in Krishna Leela in the home of Nanda Maharaj, and they were narrating the pastimes of Krishna in the assembly of Nanda Maharaj. Snigdhakanta and Madhukanta were speaking this thing. Guru Ganesh Dipika describes that the same Madhukanta, he came in Gaura Leela as Mukunda Dutt. Mukunda Dutt was a very famous singer in Gaura Leela. So again, he's serving the Lord in a particular, but in a slightly different way. He was not glorifying him as Krishna, but he's singing in another way to please Mahaprabhu. So Madhukanta and Snigdhakanta, every day they were singing different songs about Radha Krishna Leela. And one day they sang a song about how Nanda and Yashoda had Krishna as their son. And they described how Nanda Baba, he performed so many sacrifices to get his son, but he wasn't successful. So then the Brijbasis, out of affection for Nanda Maharaj, they also took vows. They said, because Nanda Maharaj is so very, very dear to them. We can't imagine how dear a devotee is to us. We can't imagine how dear Nanda Maharaj, the father of Krishna, must have been to all the Brijbasis. So they saw that Nanda Maharaj, he wasn't getting any fruit for his sacrifice, from his austerities and things. And they said, we'll also do something, and we'll give all the benefit to you. so that you can get some sun. Still, no sun came. And Yasomati, Srimati Yashoda, she became very, very distressed. And she simply started crying and holding her head down. And this is not a material type of lamentation. This is a type of ecstasy, a type of happiness. Although it looks like the greatest, most inconceivable pain and sorrow. This is a kind of purva-rag, a kind of vipalamba that Mother Yashoda is experiencing. She's lamenting. She wants to have the Lord as her child. She wants to have Krishna as her baby. And she's lamenting and lamenting. But don't think it's a kind of mundane sorrow. It's a type of great ecstasy, which is very, very difficult for us to understand. When Nanda Maharaj saw Yashoda's condition, he became very distressed. And he consoled her in so many different ways. And he said, anyway, there's a saying in Orissa, Bhagavananka Icha, whatever the Lord desires, it's the Lord's arrangement, we should accept that thing. So then Yashoda, she said to her husband, said, you know, I've been thinking about this. I've done so many different types of sacrifices and vratas, but one thing we haven't done this Dvadasi Vrata, this Dvadasi Parama Vrata. And when he heard that, Nanda Maharaj said, yes, yes, very good, we should do like this. So at this point we may question, Nanda and Yashoda, according to Jiva Goswami and Gopal Champu, they perform this Dvadasi Vrata to get their son. So is this the reason why they got Krishna as their son? Does it mean that if you or I will do Dvadasi Vrata for 100 years, let's say they did for like a couple of years, if we do for 100 years, will we get Krishna as our son? This is a Bahiranga Karan. This is an external reason that they're doing for some loka siksha. Krishna, he acts to his associates, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was saying, that we can't separate Krishna from his devotees. When his devotees are there, Krishna's also there, but maybe in an unseen form. And Krishna's also giving instructions to his devotees. And so different types of people, they're hearing these pastimes and they'll understand different things. So for karmis, they'll hear this thing and say, oh, this is very good. I also want to have a son, a nice son, so we should also do this Dvadasi Vrata. And they'll do that, and they may do in a similar way to Nanda Yashoda, and they may get a son as a fruit of that, but that won't be the real fruit of the Dvadasi Vrata. The real fruit will be that they'll get some bhakti or mukhi sukriti. Just like in the month of Kartik, we wrote an article recently, which we published in our Bindu magazine, about the glories of the month of Kartik, and there's some story in Pava Purana about one very fallen Brahmin who performed so many sinful activities. And then later he went to one place and he saw, he was selling meat and skins of animals and things, and he saw so many Brahmins and people performing Kartik Vrata. And he wasn't very interested, he didn't do it himself, but he was little interested, he was watching them, but he didn't take it up himself. And then later one day at the end of the month of Kartik, and he saw everybody break finish their vows and everything, then a snake came and bit him and he died. And so then at that time the Yamadutas came and took him to the abode of Yamaraj. And Yamaraj called for Chitragupta and said, hey, look in your notebooks. What is this guy's record? And he looked in his notebook and said, it's very bad, Maharaj. He hasn't done anything good. He's a very, very terrible, sinful person. But then at that time Narad Muni came and said, hey, what are you doing? Huh? He saw this thing, excuse me, what happened prior to that? They took this person, Yamaraj said, okay, throw him in the boiling vats of oil. And so they took him, they picked him up, and they threw him in these boiling hot vats of oil. And they threw him in there. All of a sudden, the oil became cold and cool. And they couldn't burn him. And they couldn't figure out what's going on. And they went back to Yamaraj and they said, hey, you know, we've been keeping the fire burning underneath these pots of oil for a long time. We've been burning so many sinners in these pots of oil. And this thing's never happened. We had a big fire underneath the pot, and we threw this guy in the pot. And everybody else screams and cries and everything, but he just laughed. And there was no pain for him whatsoever. The oil became cold. And Yamaraj became very bewildered. I don't know what's going on. And he started thinking deeply about it. At that time, Narad Muni came. And Narad Muni told him, you can't touch him. He doesn't belong here. He's not a papi. He's not a sinner. And he's a very pious person. What did he do? We have his record. Well, he did all bad things, but he did one good thing. And one good thing he did, he just simply saw some people performing Kartik Vrata. And because he did that, he doesn't belong here. And they were very, very amazed. And then they took him on a tour of all the different hellish planets and showed him all the different things. And then they let him go. They took him to, he became an associate of Kuvera, the Lord of Wealth, and continued in his devotional progression. So that was Bhakti and Mukhi Sukriti. He got some devotional benefit, but it was a Gyata Sukriti. It was something he didn't know was happening. Right? So someone who reads these kind of pastimes in Gopal Champu, how Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, they did this Dwadasi Vrata, if they have a material motivation and they follow this thing, they get some unseen benefit. If they read how Nanda and Yashoda were doing it and they also want to hear some, we should also hear some katha. If you see every year in Kartik time, if you go over down Prakrama, you go around, you'll see that they're usually doing Ram Lila in some places, or they're doing, they have some Bhagavat Saptaha going on. Or if you do, be warned, if you do Vrindavan Prakraman Ekadasi, who's done Vrindavan Prakraman Ekadasi during Kartik month? You'll never forget it. I promise. It's, you know what it's like? So crowded. And it's very nice. So many wonderful devotees there, right? Actually, you go and so many people are smoking cigarettes and they're playing cinema music like anything. And so many people, men wearing trousers and shirts and things. Why are they doing it? They're not doing it for bhakti. They're coming and doing that thing, so they'll get a nice son, they'll get a nice wife, they'll get a nice job, they'll get some money, they'll get this thing and that thing. And they may get those things, but they'll get something else much, much greater, which is bhakti and mukhi sukriti. And some sukriti, which leads to bhakti. So for that purpose, this kind of thing is described here also. So for 1 year, Nanda and Yashoda performed this vrata. At the end of the year, Nanda Maharaj, he had a dream. Lord Hari appeared to him in the dream and told him, so that I'm very, very pleased with you, and your desire will very soon be fulfilled. He said that, he told him that every kalpa, I come as your son. In this kalpa, I'm also going to come as your son, and in your house, I'm going to manifest my babyhood pastimes. Every day, you'll get to see my pastimes, and you'll be very, very happy. So Nanda Maharaj woke up from his dream, being very happy, very amazing dream. And the birds were chirping outside, there were so many auspicious omens. So then he decided to go and take bath in the Jamuna along with Yashoda Mata. And at that time he took so much charity with him. And he gave money, wealth and charity to all the different Brahmins and Rishis. And then at that time, Jiva Goswami describes that all the Devas and the Munis and Rishis, they all came in the guise of beggars to get some alms from Nanda Maharaj. A very, very nice thing. To get something personally from Nanda Maharaj. So then they took their bath and they finished their bath. They started giving all their charity, and everyone became very, very pleased, and they all said, Nanda Maharaj ki jai, Yashoda Mata ki jai, like this. So then they went back to their house, and the gatekeeper informed me that one Brahmacharini had come, and one lady, Sadhvi, one lady, saintly lady, had come there. And so they went to that Sadhvi, and they worshipped her. She gave them some benediction to Mother Yashoda. She said, my dear queen, very soon you're going to get a very nice baby. So then when everyone heard that, they all became very happy. And they said, Nandarani ki jai. Nandarani is a name for Yashoda Mata. And so then for 1 year, Nanda and Yashoda, they observed this Dwadasi Vrata. Then on the Krishna Pratipat, the first day of the dark fortnight of the month of Magh, Nanda Maharaj had another dream. And in that dream, this blue complexion baby entered into his heart, and then left his heart and entered into the heart of Mother Yashoda. So in that way, Mother Yashoda, she became pregnant. And when all the cowherd men and ladies, they heard that, everyone became very, very ecstatic. Because you can imagine Krishna is appearing in the womb of Mother Yashoda. So then an astrologer told them that on the eighth day of the dark fortnight of the month of Bhadra, the child would take birth in an auspicious tithi, the Bhadra Krishnashtami. And so that evening, when that day came, everyone, they decorated the bridal, the pregnancy room. They had a special room where the ladies would give birth in. And they decorated it very wonderfully. And then the ladies, they stayed up all night. But by the potency of Krishna's yoga maya, they all fell asleep. Mm-hmm. And so when the child was born, when Krishna appeared, Mother Yashoda was asleep. A very interesting thing. There was no pain at all in the delivery. She gave birth to Krishna. She didn't even wake up. We don't hear about such deliveries like this. We don't know. Prabhupada said many times that men can't understand the pain of childbirth. Only a woman can understand that thing. And we hear about what a terrible, terrible, excruciating pain it can be. But Mother Yashoda didn't even wake up when Krishna was born. A very amazing thing. And that child is Putra Ratna. He's a son just like a valuable gem. So, Gurganandan Maharaj says a very interesting thing. He says that exactly the same time when Yashoda gave birth to Krishna in Vrindavan, in Mathura, in the present house of Kamsa, Devaki gave birth to his son. So, that's a very curious thing. And I'd like to focus on this a little bit. I don't want to focus so much about this pastime that's written here. All of you should read this thing. But what I'd like to be the purpose of this seminar is to try to go a little deeper into different aspects of what this book is speaking about, and to speak about things that you're not going to get in the book. Right? So, a question arises. Who is Krishna's mother? Who can say? Generally, we all say that Krishna is the son of Devaki. And how many of you have been to Krishna's Janmasthana in Mathura? Raise your hand. So that's where Krishna appeared. So there's two things. There's Janma and there's Avirbhav. Two different words in Sanskrit. Janma means birth, and Avirbhav means appearance. Actually, Krishna was not born in Mathura. If he would have been born, it would have been a very painful birth for Devaki, because he came out with his Sudarshan Chakra and his cloak and lotus flower and his crown and jewelry and everything. It would have been very, very painful, I think, for Devaki. But rather, he just simply appeared there in the prison of Kamsa. And Jiva Goswami says that at that time, by the Lord's Yogamaya potency, all the guards fell asleep and the shackles came loose on Vasudeva's wrists and Devaki, and the doors to the prison suddenly opened. And then Vasudeva, the Lord appeared, and Vasudeva and Devaki immediately began offering prayers to him. And they said so many things, David, Jagatpate. They told him, you're not actually really our son. Really, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they worshipped him like anything. And then the Lord told him, he said, you take me across the Jamuna to Gokul and place me in the bed with Yashoda. So then Vasudev, he carried that child, that baby, from the prison house, and he came to the Jamuna. But when he came to the Jamuna, there was a terrible storm going on. And the Jamuna was very high, and the waters were very, very rough, and he didn't know how to cross. Jiva Goswami says, a very amazing thing happened that time. A very unusual-looking jackal, a golden-colored jackal, suddenly appeared there and started swimming across the Jamuna. And Vasudeva suddenly understood that this was the divine arrangement of the Lord, and that he should follow this jackal. The jackal was showing him the way across the Jamuna, where the water wasn't so deep. So he began carrying the baby across, and we see so many pictures. Ananta Sesh appeared there and acted as an umbrella, and he protected baby Krishna from getting wet. And he crossed over the Jamuna River, and he came to Gokul. And he went to the house of Nanda Maharaj, and everyone was sound asleep. And then when he entered into the house of Nanda Maharaj, the birth chamber, he saw there that Mother Yashoda had given birth to a baby girl. And then he took that baby, and he placed that child down in the bed there. And he took the baby girl, and he left. And he went back to Mathura, and we know that child later became known as Durga, as Mahamaya, and Kamsa tried to kill her, and she flew up into the air, and she told Kamsa, you idiot, you rascal, stupid fool, you can't kill me. The child who's meant to be your death has already appeared, and he's going to kill you, you stupid rascal. That's a common thing that we understand. But Jiva Goswami says another very interesting thing. He says that Mother Yashoda gave birth to twins, a little boy and a little girl. And that little boy is Krishna. And the little girl was Subhadra. So, who took birth, or who appeared in the prison of Kamsa? That's Krishna's expansion, his Vasudeva expansion. And Jiva Goswami says that when Vasudev brought that baby, Vasudev, to the birth chamber of Mother Yashoda, by the influence of Yoga Maya, he didn't see Nandanandan Krishna, baby Krishna, lying there on the bed. He only saw Subhadra, Yoga Maya. And he placed Vasudev Krishna down in the bed. And then at that time, Vasudev Krishna entered into the body of Nandanandan Krishna, Swayam Rupa Govinda. And he took Subhadra away. Or did he? Actually, he didn't. Because Subhadra, she's Yoga Maya. And don't ask me any questions about Subhadra after this, because we don't know. I've gotten 3 letters in the last month from different senior devotees asking me about Subhadra and things. And there's very few things that we know about Subhadra. But our acharyas, they say that she stayed here in Vrindavan. She never leaves Vrindavan. She's Yoga Maya Devi. There's no question of her leaving Braj. But she expanded, and her Mahamaya expansion was taken by Vasudev across the Jamuna River back to the prison house of Kamsa. And then from there, Rupa Goswami describes that she went to the Vindhya Mountains, and so many things happened. Later on, she married Arjuna, and she has a house in Puri, and some difficult things in the standard. But Lalita Madhava, in the 10th chapter of Lalita Madhava, Rupa Goswami describes, he calls her Ekanamsa, and that she's still there in Vrindavan the whole time. She never left Vrindavan because she's orchestrating all the Lord's pastimes in Braj. And Vrindavan and Paritika Padikam Nagachchati. Krishna never leaves Braj. Similarly, Yoga Maya, she also never leaves Braj. So this is the account that Gurgamanda Maharaj gives, speaking from Jiva Goswami. So this is a very far-out kind of thing. We haven't heard this thing. Most of these, we read in Krishna book, there's no mention in Krishna book about this thing. Krishna is said to be the son of David, not the son of Yashoda. So how can we say this? Is Jiva Goswami maybe has a different opinion than some of our other acharyas? How do we understand this thing? There's 2 ways to understand things. Gurgamanda Maharaj, speaking of our acharyas, he said there's tattva vichar and aparavichar. There's an apparent consideration and there's an absolute consideration. From an apparent consideration, it would seem that Jiva Goswami has a different opinion than Sukadeva Goswami, who describes that Krishna is the son of Devaki. But in tattva, there's no difference between them. So, Maharaj and Gurgamanda Maharaj used to always say that the Vaishnavas, we want to speak this tattva vichar, not apara vichar, not the apparent consideration. So what is the tattva vichar in this connection? We'll cite some different pramanas. It's described in Harivamsa Purana. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he comments in his purport to the third chapter, the 10th canto, text 47. He cites this verse from Harivamsa Purana. Garva kale to sampurne astame masite striyo devaki cha yasoda cha susubate samamtada. In the 8th month of pregnancy, which is considered asampurna, or incomplete, Yashoda and Devaki both gave birth at the same time. So this is a pramana, Acharya's site, to show that actually Krishna was born as a son of Yashoda. Prabhupada writes in his purport to the same verse, he says, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur discusses that Krishna appeared simultaneously as a son of Devaki and the son of Yashoda, along with the spiritual energy Yoga Maya. As a son of Devaki, he first appeared as Vishnu. And because Vasudeva was not in the true position of pure affection for Krishna, Vasudeva worshipped his son as Lord Vishnu. Yashoda, however, pleased her son Krishna without understanding his godhood. This is the difference between Krishna as the son of Yashoda and the son of Devaki. This is explained by Vishnu Chakravarti on the authority of Harivamsa. Prabhupada also speaks about this thing. There's one person, we won't mention names, but just as preachers in our society and followers of Srila Prabhupada, I can mention this so you can arm yourself with this purport from Srila Prabhupada. There was one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers who, for whatever reason of his own, saw fit to criticize Srila Prabhupada. And he said that Prabhupada didn't understand Krishna Lila because in Krishna book, Prabhupada says that Krishna is the son of Devaki. He said that Prabhupada didn't understand. He wrote this actually in some commentaries in his books. He was criticizing Prabhupada, I guess. But he didn't take the time to read Prabhupada's commentaries in the 10th canto. Prabhupada understood that this pastime is a confidential pastime. And being a Shaktivesha avatar, being empowered by Krishna, he acted perfectly as Krishna's instrument to give exactly what the people needed to hear. Krishna book was something Srila Prabhupada wanted distributed to everyone. And this is a very confidential subject, so he didn't speak about this in Krishna book. He gave away the general explanation, which is that Krishna is the son of Devaki. But here in his purport, the 10th canto, when Prabhupada was writing it, he gave this more confidential thing, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So, you may have some doubts. You may consider that, this is Prabhupada saying this, and maybe Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying like this, but this is a very unusual understanding. We haven't heard this thing before. Mm-hmm. But actually, this thing is described in many different places, in many different Vedic literatures. Baladeva Vidyabhushan, he describes the same thing in Aishwarika Dambani, chapter 5, text 4. In two verses, he describes how Krishna was born from the womb of Mother Yashoda. I won't bother reading the Sanskrit, we'll just flip through a few things quickly. Similarly, Rupa Goswami, in his Laghu Bhagavatamrita, he also describes this thing, how Krishna is directly the son of Yashoda, and then Yashoda had twins. And then simultaneously, Krishna, Vasudeva Krishna, appeared in the prison house of Kamsa. In Laghu Bhagavatamrita 1.5.454-456, he says, Kechit Bhagavata Prahur Evam Atra Paratanaha Vyayu Pradurbhavid Adyo Griha Ves Anukandudi Goshte Tu Maya Sardam Shri Lila Purushottam. In ancient times, some devotees have said that the Lord appeared in his Vasudeva feature in the home of Maharaj Vasudeva. At the same time, he appeared in his original form, Krishna, in the village of Braj. In this way, these devotees have said that Sri Krishna and Yogamaya were the twin children of Yashoda and Braj Bhumi. And he gives several other verses. So many pramanas are there for that. But we may protest. This is okay. Your acharyas are saying like that. Harivamsa Purana is saying like that. But the Bhagavatam says very clearly that Krishna, he's the son of Devaki. But the Bhagavatam says a very interesting thing. The Bhagavatam describes very clearly that the Jata Karma Samskar, at the time of birth, is performed by Maharaj Nanda. Do you know what the Jata Karma Samskar is? The Jata Karma Samskar is when you cut the umbilical cord. So either one of two things would be there. Either the umbilical cord attached to Krishna went all the way across the Jamuna River into Mathura, into the prison house attached to Devaki, which doesn't make very much sense. Or Krishna is a son of Yashoda. He's not the son of Devaki. This is also confirmed in Brahma Vivarta Purana, 4th canto, chapter 9, text 48. Nando Hrishto Brahmanebhyo Dhanam Bahu Vidandavad Chicheda Nadhyam. Nadim means the umbilical cord. Nadim Dhatricha Swapnayam Masabalakam. Very jubilant Nanda Maharaj. He gave so much charity away to the Brahmins. And then at that time, the Dhatri, the midwife, the nurse, she cut the umbilical cord. In front of Nanda Maharaj and all the devotees, we can understand it must not have been going all the way to Mathura. Krishna's the son of Yashoda. Again, in the next chapter of the Brahma Vivarta Purana, chapter 9 of the 4th canto, text 60, it says, Chiteda Nadim Balasya, the midwife cut the umbilical cord. So therefore, it's described by Rupa Goswami in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Asa Mordvena Bhagavan, Vatsalyena Bhajeshayo, Sutatena Satayor, Atmanam Vitisarvada. Because the parental love of Braj's king and queen, Mother Yashoda Nanda Maharaj, has no equal, it's asamurdva. Asamurdvena Bhagavan. Krishna eternally thinks himself their son. But Vasudev, what does he say? When Krishna went with Akura back to Mathura, what did they do? Krishna killed Kamsa. And then at that time, Vasudeva and Devaki, they came out like this, and they were shaking, and they had folded hands. And they began to offer so many different prayers to Krishna. At that time, Vasudeva said, Yuvam na sa na yuvam na naha sutta sakshat. He said, actually, you're not our son. Pradhana Purusheshwaro. But you're the Supreme Lord, Lord Vishnu. So this is the nature, this is the type of love that Vasudeva and Devaki have. They offered prayers to Krishna. But Nanda and Yashoda, they never offered prayers to Krishna. We celebrate this month as a month of Damodar. Because it was in this month that Mother Yashoda, she bound Krishna up with a rope. Mother Yashoda wasn't offering prayers to Krishna. She picked up a stick and she threatened him. When Uddhava came, we'll read later on, please give classes on this subject later on, your blessings. Later on in this book, Mathur Meets Vrindavan, we'll hear about how Uddhava came to Braj with a message of love from Krishna to console the Brijvasis in separation from Krishna. Krishna actually hadn't left Vrindavan, but how that is discussed in the last chapter. It's another subject matter. Krishna was there, but they thought that he was gone. And Uddhava was sent to console them. So Uddhava came there, and he tried to console Nanda and Yashoda, and he started telling them, actually, you know, yuvayor eva naivayam atma yogo, atma jo, bhagavan hari, sarvesham atma jo yatma, pita mata sa ishwaraha. He said, actually, Krishna's not really your son. He's really the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when Uddhava told Nanda Maharaj that, Nanda Maharaj became very annoyed with him. Uddhava, what are you saying? I thought you were Vidvan. I thought you were a very learned person, but you're a boka. You're just a fool. You don't know anything. How are you saying that my Krishna is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Lord Narayan, he's Bhagavan. I know this. We worship Narayan in our house. Lord Narayan, he's the Supreme Personality of God. He's a Nadi, he's beginning us, he's Sarveshwar, he's a control of everything. Narayan, he's a Papa Vida. He's sinless. But my Krishna, he's very fickle, very greedy and angry. Narayan is Sudha Sattva Gunamaya. He's pure, he's free from any contamination. But Krishna, he's a chore. He's a thief. He's going and stealing things from the gopis. What are you, crazy? You're trying to tell me that Krishna is God? What kind of nonsense thing are you speaking? So see the difference between the love of Vasudeva and Devaki and the love of Nanda and Yashoda. When Krishna appeared before Vasudeva and Devaki, they began offering prayers to him. And they told him, you're not actually our son. Therefore, Krishna's avirbhav is in Mathura. If suddenly we're all sitting here in the room, and all of a sudden someone appeared in the room, there's a little puff of smoke, and someone appeared, and they have four arms, and they're holding a shankha chakra gata padma and a crown on their head, and so many things. How would you feel about it? I think you'd probably be very surprised. And you'd probably offer obeisances and be like this. Compare that to when a little baby boy is born and starts crying for the mother. Krishna, his janma is in Gokul. And that Janma Leela is a very, very sweet pastime. It's full of sweetness and durja. But his appearance, his avirbhav, in the prison house of Kamsa, is full of aishvarja. It's full of all kinds of opulence. Now another question comes. You may still not be satisfied. You may still be a skeptic or two who are listening now. You may say that, well, this is very nice. But you're saying that Krishna is the son of Yashoda. But just see, in the Bhagavatam, I think even in the very last verse of the Bhagavatam, it describes Krishna as the son of Devaki. Devaki Nandan. Devaki Nandan, is that name is there a number of times in the Bhagavatam. And Vasudeva Nandan, he's the son of Vasudeva. That name is given a number of times. How do we understand that? Rupa Goswami, in his Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika, gives some very interesting information. He says the same thing, actually, which is given by Baladeva Vidyabhushan in his commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam. Rupa Goswami says, Vasudevo pi Vasubir divyatityesha banyate yatadrona sarupascha katyas chanakadundibi. He glorifies Vasudeva. And, he's glorifying Nanda Maharaj. And he's speaking about different names that Nanda Maharaj has. He says, because he possesses so much splendor, Deva, of great wealth, Vasu. One of Nanda Maharaj's names is Vasudeva. Nanda Maharaj is also known as Vasudeva. He is also famous by the name Anakandubi, which is another name of Vasudeva. And it is known that in his previous birth he was named Drona. So when these descriptions we hear in the 10th canto, sometimes about how Krishna is the son of Vasudeva, there's another meaning also here. That Nanda Maharaj, one of his names is Vasudeva. Name dam garude proktam matura mahimakrama. The names of Maharaj Nanda, he says, are described in the Matura Mahima section of the Garuda Purana. And then he quotes the Adi Purana. And he speaks about Mother Yashoda. And he says a very interesting thing about Yashoda. Dve namni nanda bharyaya yasoda de the kirticha. Ata sakyam mabuttasya. Devakya Surijayaya. The friendship of Yashoda is described in the following statement from Adi Purana. She had a very dear friend. The wife of Maharaj Nanda was known by two names. She is known as Yashoda, and another one of her names is Devaki. Partly because they shared the same name, Devaki, the wife of Maharaj Nanda and the wife of Maharaj Vasudev became great friends. So the same verse is quoted by Balaji Vidyabhushan in his Vishnu Sahasranam commentary, text 119. And Baladev cites it as evidence to show the name Devaki Nandan can also mean the son of Yashoda. Vishwanath also, he cites the same exact verse from Adi Purana in his commentary on Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 90, text 48. It says, Jayati Jananivaso, the verse Jayati Jananivaso, Devaki Janmavado. Which speaks about how Krishna is the son of Devaki. And he explains in this way that actually Krishna is really the son of Mother Yashoda. He says that Sukadeva himself has said conclusively that Krishna was born from both Devakis. Devakyam eva Yashodayam. Meaning that Krishna was born as the son of both of them. Now, at this point, we may ask them what happened to Vasudeva Krishna. Vasudeva Krishna, Krishna's expansion, entered into the body of Krishna when Krishna killed the different demons, as we were reading earlier. That pastime actually took part by Lord Vishnu. Krishna didn't kill the different demons, but it was Vishnu who did that. Okay, we discussed that earlier. We can understand it's a simple thing. But if you're a little astute, another question may arise. You may say, that's okay. Vasudev Krishna, the Vasudev expansion of the Lord, he killed the demons. But how do we understand then that Krishna, he's present with Srimati Radharani, and Vasudev Krishna is also there? There's a saying in America that two's company and three's a crowd. So how do we accept that? That sounds like Rasa Bas. It is Rasa Bas. That Radharani is going to be there when Lord Vishnu is killing all the demons and things. How do we understand that? Very interesting question. Parvati Devi, she asked the same question to Lord Shiva in the Pava Purana. And Lord Shiva, he explained as follows. Pladini ya maha shakti sarva shakti variyasi tatsara bhava rupa shri radhika parikirtita Taya Sri Krishna Chandrasya Kridaya Samaye Mune Taravishnam Vasudevam Saha Kiravdi Nayakam Antariksha Gatam Kuryach Chaktir Akarshani Hare Kridante Stapayet Tantu Stapani Krishna Dehataha Sampurna Sodasa Kalaha Kebalo Nanda Nandanaha. Vipridan Radaya Sardham Labhate Paramam Sukham. Very interesting thing. Pladini Ya Maha Shakti. This Shakti known as Pladini Shakti, this is the Maha Shakti. Sarva Shakti Variyasi. It's better than all the other Shaktis. It's the supreme Shakti. And Srimati Radharani, she's the personified form of that Pladini Shakti. So he says that at the time of Radha and Krishna's Leela, Krishna has a particular Shakti which is known as Akarshani. And when Radha and Krishna come together, that Akarshani Shakti all of a sudden shows up, and like a magnet, it grabs Kirbhishayi Vishnu and Vasudev, who are merged in Krishna's body, and takes them off into the sky. And Kirabhishayini Vishnu and Vasudev, they're hanging out there in the sky for a while Krishna's enjoying with Srimati Radharani in a very private way. And only the Krishna, Radha Krishna's Leela remains. Then he says, when the pastime's finished with Radharani, then another Shakti shows up to serve Lord Krishna. That Shakti's name, Stapani. And that Shakti, just like another part of the magnet, it grabs Vasudev Krishna and Kirabhishayini Vishnu and brings them back again from the sky and puts them back inside of Krishna's body. And thus, in the Pama Purana, it's described for 16 full years as Sri Nandanandan alone, Krishna by himself, enjoyed transcendental happiness sporting with Srimati Radharani. So many things are there. I think there's many, many more things that we could discuss about this topic.
But this is from where?
These verses, I think, are said to be from Pama Purana. Where I found them is in the Gaurgavinda Smarana Archana Padati by Dhyan Chandra Goswami. He quotes them in there. He gives his Sanskrit verses. We have Pama Purana. I haven't looked at the sea. If they're in the edition of Padma Purana, we have a sloka index for it. I'm not sure. They're found in that book. So many things are there. I was a little interested to tell all of you a story to illustrate how Krishna was the son of Yashoda, but it's a long story. Gaurgavinda Maharaj sometimes used to tell. Maybe another time we can speak about that. Are there any comments or questions about this subject matter? I'd like to summarize a little bit. These three things, Bhakti, Bhakta, and Bhagavan, are not of this material world. Krishna's Leela, he says, Janma Karma Chame Dibhyam Evam Yobeti Tattvata. You should know my appearance and activities in Tattva. They're Dibhya, they're transcendental, they're not mundane. But we can't understand Krishna's Leela unless Krishna personally appears. And even if Krishna personally appears, we still can't understand. So many people didn't recognize Krishna when he appeared. But Premanjana Chaita Bhakti Vilochanena, we have to see with the eyes of Prem. Because Agyanatimarandashya, Gananjana Shalakya, we're born blind. But Guru comes, and by his kripa, he opens our eyes. And that person who can do that thing, he's also not an ordinary living entity. Krishna's devotees, they descend from the spiritual world to give this thing. Jiva Goswami described this, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta described this, we read very elaborately yesterday on the subject. And bhakti is not of this material world. It's not a feature of the Bahiranga Shakti, the external energy of the Lord, nor is it the britti of the Paramatma. It's not the britti of the Buddha Jivas in this world, but bhakti is a britti of the Hladini Shakti in the spiritual world. It's possessed by the pure devotees, Krishna's very dear intimate associates who descend here. And when they descend, they're the speakers of Sabda Brahma. And they have disciples. They come to give Krishna consciousness, to give Krishna prema to the living entities in this material world who become their disciples. And then their function is to speak Sabda Brahma. The function of the disciple is to do what? To listen, to hear. And then after that disciple hears, what does he do? He speaks. Srila Prabhupada has told all of us, we must speak. It's a very, very important thing. We have to repeat what we've heard from our guru. But our speaking and his speaking are not the same. Our speaking is a theoretical thing. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta spoke about that very elaborately. We read yesterday, even we may hear from somebody, we may read a book that someone's written about England or some place we haven't been to before, but still we can't understand it. We have to speak to someone who's actually personally been to that abode in the language of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So we should repeat those words. And our repetition, that kirtan, as we were saying yesterday and the day before, is another word for shravan. There's another word for hearing. If we do that kind of kirtan, then we're always associated with our Gurudev and with our previous acharyas by repeating their words. And those words don't belong to us. They don't belong to us, just like in Walt Disney made this movie, Fantasia. And there's a very interesting story in there about the wizard and his disciple. The disciple who wanted to become like the wizard. And the wizard was always a disciple. Wizard's always telling you, sweep the floor, you clean the house, you do this and that. And the disciple's getting really upset and angry. Hey, I came here to learn some magic, you know, so I can also become a wizard. And this is just nonsense. Oh, sweep the floor, do this, do that. This is nonsense. So one day the wizard left. And before he left, he told him, so you clean the house, very nice. Clean the house, clean the house, clean the house. He's very annoyed. So his guru left. So he thought to himself, I've seen my guru, he's reading from this book. He's chanting some mantras, and he's making some... I can do the same thing. Huh? So he went upstairs, and he found that book, and he looked through the book, and he also chanted some mantra. Need to call somebody?
How much time do you need?
Just 5 minutes. Okay. So he also started chanting that mantra, and by his mantra, he made the broom come to life, and the broom started sweeping by itself. Very, very good. And then he made the broom carry the buckets of water, and he made the mop mop the floor by itself. Very, very nice. Now I can go take rest. So he laid down in the bed and went to sleep. And then what happened? The broom kept working and kept carrying water and carrying water. And pretty soon, the whole house started filling up with water. And it came up onto his bed and he woke up. And then he saw, oh my God, what happened? And then he didn't know the mantra to stop it. And he tried and tried. He tried to grab the broom and stop the broom, but the broom kept carrying the water. So finally he took an axe. He chopped the broom into two. But then what happened? The broom became two different brooms, and they both started carrying water. So then he took his axe and he cut them into so many pieces, and then they all became brooms. And 100 of them started carrying water. And the whole place is becoming underwater. And he's panicking. He doesn't know what to do. And then suddenly his guru comes back. And his guru says, what are you doing, you boka, you idiot? And he chants some mantra. Immediately the broom stops and the water goes away. So there's a difference between our speaking Krishna Katha and the speaking of Sadhu Guru. Just like in this story, there's a difference. And if we try to imitate, there's a difference between Anukor and Anusar. We should be Anusar, following the instructions of our Gurudev as our life and soul. And we give class, we speak something, we repeat what we've heard because our Guru has told us to. We have to. Prabhupada told us to do this thing. This is a Krishna conscious movement. We should all preach. But we shouldn't think that this is my words. We sang that song yesterday, Gari Tarachari, Rohi Lama Moji, Nakori no Sadhu Sangha. I'm not really a sadhu, but Loi Sadhu Vesh, Ani Upadesh, Eboro Maya Ranga. I'm dressing up like a sadhu, and I'm giving everyone else instruction. This is Maya's big joke. That's all that it is. Sadguru, he's the real speaker of Harikatha. His function is to speak Harikatha. And the function of the disciple is to hear. And then after hearing, he repeats it. But his repeating that is another form of shravan, another form of hearing. We're repeating for our benefit, as a service to our guru. So, is that okay? Any other things, anybody, questions or comments? So, I thank all of you very much for giving me some opportunity to think about this book a little bit and get your association, and we get some opportunity to try to relish these things a little bit. And if I made any mistakes or anything, please forgive me. Please bless us so we can do some service for our Guru Janas. Vanchakopadubhischa kripasindubhyevacha patitanam padamebhyo vaishnavebhyo namah. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya sanjaya bhakta bindu ki jaya.